Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. October 19th, 2014. Yes, how very interesting. 19 just popping up there. So, welcome to Ever Beyond. We are very pleased all to be here. All of us. Yes, all of me. All of me. Me and my multiple personalities. And, another completely separate personality, Nancy L. Hopkins, my dear and trusted co-host. Are you there?
I'm here.
See? She's always there. She's great. Anyway, a quiet day today. Tomorrow I'll have Andra Aloha on my show on Rev Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. His topic this week, he's a million topics. Anyway, his topic this week is the ascended entrepreneur, i.e. how to make money and still be spiritual, which is quite a challenge. And so we'll be discussing some of those points indeed. Back to kind of 5D things, because we were like talking about these devices and the field of shungite powder and fullerenes and stuff like that. I was thinking about fullerenes. Oh, yes, that's right. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this one to you before, Nancy, but I believe, all right, that there's a connection between what they call stardust and bacteria and dark matter and shungite and amoeba.
I remember everything except the amoeba.
Amoeba. So, I'm in conversation with Nikki about this, about how, what exactly shungite is, and I came up with the analogy. It's like a stock cube for primordial soup. What do you think of that?
I'm sorry, what was that last part?
Stock cube. Do you have stock cubes? OXO? You have things like that?
It's not making it. No.
No. Hang on.
What's it used for?
For making soup. It's a little
cube. Oh, stock. Okay, yes, now I know what you're saying. Yes.
Stock. Stock. How did you say it?
Stock.
Stock. Stock cube. Yes.
Yeah. Stock. We call them bunion cubes here.
Bunion. All right. I just got the thought of my mum's foot.
Well, it's beef. It's beef bullion.
Oh, you know? Right. Bullion. Right. Okay. Anyway.
You know, it's a bunion. Anyway, that's just a private joke.
I see. Anyway, so basically that shungite is the key ingredient to the primordial soup that is brewed on a planet, and they basically, you know, go along and chuck one down and leave it for billions of years and see what evolves out of it.
We know that the shungite can scientifically, shungite, for those that don't know, is like one of the main subjects for all sorts of different science, from chemistry to physics. They're finding all sorts of, you think we're finding things about it that are different and weird and powerful. They're finding stuff that's just as weird and powerful. And so when you're dealing with shungite, you can actually take the molecule of the fullerene, the soccer ball, and you can have different things put in it, including microorganisms, including gases. I don't even know the full list of things that they've already put inside a buckyball that then is used like a transport vehicle. So I absolutely agree. The fact that the field is where it is, that the estimate of how old it is between 2 and 4 billion years old, which means that it would have gotten here while the Earth was still pretty molten, it probably did have the key to life inside of it. Perhaps it was carrying DNA. Because one of the things about DNA that is so interesting is that DNA in the quartz crystal or silicon dioxide, which about 76% of the Earth is really silicon dioxide is its base, they both have the identical spiral. So when in the Bible, when they're talking about Adam being created out of the sand thing, maybe it was the DNA. Maybe the DNA was actually a copy of what was in quartz. But DNA, the spiral, is prevalent through everything. So it's likely that any given life form that, you know, Gaia started to create from would have started from, you know, the basic chemistry that could have been brought to us by this particular field of shungite that is only found in Russia, just east of Finland. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's much more fundamental to everything than we probably understand. Even the geometry of the shungite of the fullerene is magical.
Of shungite that is found in Karelia. Has anyone actually ever done a 3D map of it? Like the prospectors.
As to how big it is, or
it's how big is it, and how what is has it? Does it have a form? You know, does it get? Is it like a? So I mean, my concept of it is like it's a great big cylinder.
You know, I'm not. You're talking about the shape of it, the peripheral. What marks its edges? Right? Is that what you're looking at? The shape of it, the
yeah.
feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's actually sort of, as far as I understand, it's lying on top of the Earth. If you see the pictures that are on cosmicreality.net about shungite, you're going to see this stuff is laying on the top of the Earth. There's actually a video out there. I saw it, but I don't know. I don't even know who showed it to me. So I'm not sure of the URL on it. But it's these guys just driving through the area where one of the major shungite mines is. And it's boulders of shungite. It's piles of shungite all around them. And yes, you can get boulders of shungite because it's laying right there on the top of the soil. Well, I don't know if it's on the top of the soil. I don't know how deep it goes. Those things I've never seen published. If anybody's got them, go over to the Shungite store on Facebook and let us know, or go to the website and let us know. Because I know that that the only thing that I read was that it was 1,000 kilometers like 1,000 square kilometers of this stuff is what they're estimating is there.
Wow.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah. And so 1,000 kilometers square, or 1,000 square kilometers?
1,000 square kilometers.
Right. Okay. So, so that's 10 kilometers. So it's still quite a large thing. So I'm just googling shungite field shape. but there is a Shungite Canada thing. What's that about?
Shungite.com, I mean ShungiteCanada.com.
There's a Canadian shungite field.
The only fullerene, well, there's two places in Canada that you see the fullerene, in a gold mine in Canada and in a meteorite strike in Canada. The only other known shungite or fullerene source is another gold mine in Russia, in an area in Colorado that was hit by lightning. And the lightning interacted with the soil to create fullerenes, but they think that those should disappear quickly.
That's interesting. So, so going back to the connection that I was talking about before, in that I might have mentioned it before. I think I've spoken about it on the show before. Anyway, stop me if I've said it before. But the idea that stars emit a dust, yeah, they call them stardust, you know, in the same way that a galaxy emits stars, suns emit this dust, it's, you know, and it kind of litters around space, and I think they call it dark matter. And then another data point says that the stuff that is emitted from stars appears to be 70% empty space. And the other data point is that when scientists have freeze-dried bacteria, they appear that they become 70% empty space. So there's this kind of line of thinking there that is like, well, perhaps the stardust that stars produce, because your scientists say it's only something that can be made in the depths of space. Where is the depth of space? The depth of space is deep inside a star, you know. And so I'm putting forward the idea that shungite and all fullerene, indeed, is produced by stars, and perhaps it's collected by beings and made into ships, or sometimes it falls onto a planet, you know, big chunks of it generated inside the sun, spewed out, falling as a comet, blam, great big one, seeding the planet with life that actually comes from the sun. How about all that?
Well, I think that's the way that it all started, yes. I resonate with the energy, but it's also the geometry of it. For all we know, we're not in bubbles, we're in fullerenes. We could have this entire biosphere, Gaia, and everybody else in it, in one big fullerene, for all we know. So as above, as below. I mean, I'm not going to limit the power of these fullerenes, because they're super impressive. They do have doorways to the quantum universe. And if you've got doorways to the quantum universe, you've got the ability to manifest powerfully.
It's that quantum universe calling again. Tell them we're busy. That quantum universe, that pesky quantum universe. So that's completely put me off my track. And presumably you're answering that call, so
I'm back.
Oh, there, sorry about that.
You know, we're having an election, and so they have to call you Sunday night when they're pretty sure you're home to tell you how wonderful their candidate is. So I just got a call from a liar.
There you go. And you gave him short shrift.
I have a nice day.
Yeah. Not a very long shrift at all. A very short shrift.
And the thing of it is I forget, when I was doing all this stuff with the computer, I had to put the phone that's next to the computer back on. So I could have just reached over here, but then I would have disrupted all these wires of this octopus that I now have in front of me. For those that weren't listening earlier, I've had computer problems. I had to replace my computer, and that's, you know, like a nightmare. So anyway, we're good. We're good to go. It was just somebody trying to tell me how great their candidate was. where were you? What were you doing while I was gone?
Well, I was just kind of covering the air, but with some sort of little humorous thing. So, meanwhile, so where were we? Yeah, looking at the effects of So the other thing that I haven't spoken about is Nikki's second collection, the Wolf Baby second collection of shungite pendants, will be out tonight, and I'll be putting them up on everbeyondradio.com under shungite products. I'll probably make a posting on it on the front page, but they'll be out tonight, and we've got they're beautiful, and there's one that has got is like a couple of stones lashed together, with two pieces of shungite and a what is that? It's an agate or something like that. It's not one of those ringy things like that. It looks stunning. So be looking forward to publishing that tonight once I've got all the names and got all the things in place. So that's pretty fun. So we've been messing around with things. I actually haven't been didn't make any stuff last night. I just cooked. I was just like being her muse, being sort of feeding her and giving her cups of coffee, and she was working hard and being grumpy and all that stuff, being an artist at work. So that was quite fun.
Well, she was making a shungite blanket, so she couldn't have been in that bad a state.
Oh,
because that
no, she'd already made the blanket.
Oh, she already made it. Oh, she should have been wearing it then.
Yeah, well, virtually was. She had it slung on the back of the chair that she was sitting on. But definitely, it's a hat is for sure. That's the first thing you want to do. I want to put one on my head. And that's what actually everybody... Everybody's coming today. It's like, really? Oh, okay. Oh, that's better. As they put the hat on, I'll put the blanket on their head. So definitely, yeah, a hoodie or something like that. I think that would be really nice, a shungite hoodie. Don't you?
Well, I think you should use a baseball cap. At least they won't be looking at you weird.
Baseball cap with a... Yeah. You could take a pudding basin and use that as a form for making the coil. That's a tricky bit, you know, how do you form the nice round coil on it?
Well, you can make them small. You know, if you decrease the diameter of the wire, but you keep the same length of the wire, you can make the same energies very small, as long as the wire is the same length. Because Walt's done that. He's taken... the gauge of the wire much less, but the length of it's the same. And he just makes a similar one to the ones we sell as the Shungite Spirit Spiral, and they're just as powerful. The same frequency, just smaller. He's even created one that he's got attached to his cell phone. It's stuck right on his cell phone. And I want him to start doing something like that also. I sometimes think that we overkill with the amount of shungite devices that we're giving people, but each one of them has a certain practicality. Like we have the EMF bag, which is like $8 compared to his resonator, which is like $45. Now the resonator it is attached to the pipe coming down from the electric wires, carrying the wires into your box, and when you put it on there, it'll. I don't even know how much building it will actually take in. When you're using the modulator, we call them Bucky bags, the ones we sell for $8. They do the same thing, and it's attenuating or modulating the field, so it's actually using the field and changing it. And we did testing I did two different groups of energy sensitive people, and we got to a point that we believe that 15 grams of the shungite nuggets will create the same field. But some people have, I don't have the problem, but I don't have Wi-Fi here, and I have a very small facility at my house. So some people have said that they actually needed more of the Bucky bags for different parts of their home, or if they had a lot of Wi-Fi coming in. I can't attest to that one way or the other. This is reports that I've had. So in some cases, it's going to behoove you to get one of Walt's devices, because if you're living in an apartment building, it's conceivable that you'll make your neighbors probably either break up or become wonderful people, because shungite shakes things loose, and what's negative will leave, irregardless of this human being or a job, a situation you shouldn't be in. So everything that we're doing, like I said to you, sometimes you'll make something, you go, what is this? Why am I doing this? Well, it's because we're just interjecting into this new reality, this new conscious level, different energies, different frequencies. It's like I said in the last show, that we are interjecting into the reality certain frequencies, like the first one that went in is rose. And rose is an extremely high, Walt says it's close to the ascended masters. It's an extremely high frequency that is very protective. It's like almost like the future we're trying to build is right there in the essence of the frequency of the rose, the pink rose to be exact. And so any rose has the frequency, but in our case we're using the pink rose simply because we know that shungite, too many people have had shungite or introduced shungite that saw pink at the same time. Well, it happened to Walt. He started seeing pink and he's going, why am I seeing pink? You know, like a haze of pink. And he went outside and he's looking around saying, you know, is there something happening to the sky or whatever? And he was led to the front, to the mailbox, and in there was a shipment of shungite I'd sent him with some fairly big bricks in it. So, so everything that we build and everything that we do just manipulates the reality. And if we're doing it with the right essence behind us, and with shungite, you have to be on the same frequency, otherwise you're not gonna be able to operate. So the reality, a shungite reality, I call this the shungite reality, is one that says Gaia is number one. You're not gonna be able to destroy her, and you're not gonna be able to do bad things because the energy of shungite is causing you to go into a state of balance. So you always have negative and you have positive, but when you're in a shungite environment, it wants to bring you back to a balanced position. So if you want to manipulate shungite for a negative purpose, ain't going to work. So negative people trying to manipulate it are just going to get turned around by the shungite. I've seen it happen. I mean, I've been playing with this stuff since March, and I have seen more people do drastic changes simply because shungite has come into their life that's trying to put them in balance, so it gets rid of negativity. And everybody that I've, you know, talked to, I mean, there's a lot of people that they got it and they didn't come back to us to tell us if they felt anything or not, but there's an awful lot of people that come back and say this is happening and that's happening. So there's a lot of plus the fact that like I say, when you get in with Walt and with you, you're dealing with scientific concepts, things that can be measured. And like the cold of the shungite, you know, we can measure that. He can measure that just by taking a temperature reading.
So the whole cool, I love this. We were talking about, you know, building a shungite computer because... you know, we talk about conductors and non-conductors and semiconductors. Well, shungite is a sort of superconductor and semiconductor. So probably it's going to be a super semiconductor or semi-superconductor. Super semiconductor. We haven't even started, really, have we?
No, and I told people that are working in the free energy, working with devices and theories in free energy, do not underestimate shungite. Take a look at it. It may be the key to make it work. You know, so, the only thing limiting it at this point is our imagination, as far as I can tell.
So torsion copper stuff, that's been quite fun for me, but you haven't been working with it, have you? The twisted twist wire, the slim spurling stuff?
No, I have not. Well, no, that's not true, because the first device he gave me was made with that kind of a wiring system, a spiraling system that he calls a harmonizer. And you can get them from him, but it's a harmonizer. And yes, that was the first thing. Yeah, that was the first thing he sent me, was a harmonizer based on the twisted wire.
So, slim spurlings one are very tightly wound. You know, the coils are, you know, separated by only their own width. So it's like quite a tight coil. But I've started making these ones with a very wide, about four octaves below the frequency of slims. And what I've gotten to is it's a nice slope, which is like the slope of the spiral of DNA. That's what I see it as. You'll see, there's one on my website. So I still don't know what it is, but, again, I was discussing it with Nikki, and she said it does make the room feel nice. So that's probably a kind of harmonizer as well. So I'll probably call that a DNA harmonizer or something like that. But it's a nice piece, and it made itself, you know.
Yeah, that's the key to it all, is that you get these things in your head, and it's like, I was trying to do something one day, and I was trying to force the issue, and finally I said, let me just get out of the way, and I just sort of like got out of the way, and my hands were like, and boom, it was done. You know, and, oh, cool. So after that, you know, it's like anytime I sit down with any of these things that I've got some idea in my head, I just relax and let the hands do it, and then afterwards go, okay, what is this and how does it work? Which is what I think Walt does too, because he'll show me something and he'll say, I had to build this, what is it? You know, and I go, I don't know, what's the circuitry? And then sometimes I don't get a download, and sometimes I get a download immediately, and sometimes I get a download later that this is what it's for. Are you there?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, the getting the download of. We're going to have to find some new words for these things, because, you know, you're receiving some packages of information, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Hmm. You know, the first time I ever was knowingly getting a lot of information downloaded at the same time. Like he was talking earlier about being on a shamanistic journey, and that the information on the Shungite was coming in, and it was almost like a, you know, more than one track. It was like dual tracks or triplicate tracks that were dumping all this knowledge into his brain so fast that he couldn't even figure, you know, he didn't have the time or the ability to be able to digest what was being loaded into his head. And I had that when I was, I saw a UFO. I've told this story before. I think it's in the book. That was on the, basically it looked like it was floating on the water just at the edge of the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and it was about 1:30 in the morning. And I, after getting over the freak out thing, I went over and just opened my mind and let my consciousness go into the craft itself. And it's a weird thing when you're doing that, because it is consciousness, a shamanistic consciousness. I mean, what he's talking about, a shamanistic consciousness, is taking trips into other dimensions, other energy fields. When I talk about the same kind of thing and call it remote viewing, I'm dealing with 3D. He gets into, you know, in some, many cases 3D, but the layers of 3D. So when I let my mind just open up, and it kind of merges. It's not like I'm inside the craft and I can feel their minds. It was a female that was sending me the information, and she felt like she was sort of like almost standing in front of me. So it's not like I'm on her. It's always you meet in the middle. And I was very aware that while I was holding a kind of 3D conversation with her, asking her specific questions, there was also a tremendous amount of information that was downloading into my brain, or into my mind, that there was just a lot of information coming through. And I had the same feeling that he did, is there, if I couldn't stop the transmission long enough to figure out what it was. But over the years, it's like, they just give you the information that when it's time for you to act on it, you got it. And I think a lot of times these downloads that we're getting are really that they've already in there, and that it's just everything in the universe is saying, okay, now remember this. And so you remember it, and you don't really, it feels comfortable, it feels like you might have thought about this before, you might have even seen this thing before, but you have this overpowering need to make it into a 3D thing, something you can touch. And I suspect that's what's happening to you too.
Well, certainly. Well, for instance, the thing that people call the Merkaba or Mekaba or whatever was something that it kind of got into my head one day, one night, I woke up with this thing in the morning. This is about 2003. And it appeared in my head, and it would not go away. I was everywhere I looked, I would see it, and I was going mad, and I couldn't sleep, and so. So I had to. I was looking around where I was at my house, and I couldn't find any sticks. I didn't have any metal. Didn't have. Eventually, I find some pipe cleaners. You know, the little chenille sticks, and I made. I managed to. I had 12 of them, thankfully, and I made one out of it, and then it calmed down. You know, like it let me sleep. But it really manifests, and very soon after that, I met somebody who had a whole bunch of glass ones, and so I managed to get one of those, and I still have it, but it fell apart, sadly. It's made of glass triangles that are glued together with glass glue, and you know, eventually it leached and leaked. But it was a beautiful little glass mecha bar, very cool. You fill it with water and you hang it in the sun, it makes rainbows all over your room.
Oh, very cool. Well, I have a Merkabah that I talk about, but the Merkabah that I built was one of those things where it was like a download, but I had this image in my head and it was like, I got to go out and build this thing. And when I finished building it, I had no clue as to what it was. And then went into the keys. Well, that night I picked up the Keys of Enoch, and I'd been reading it. And I turned the page, and here's a diagram of what I had built, and they were calling it a Merkabah. So that's why the name is stuck, because of, you know, it was the same, exactly the same pattern that was in the Keys of Keys of Enoch.
Right. So now. When I talk about a Merkabah, what I'm talking about is it's two tetrahedrons that are interpenetrated. So they're like as if it was a Star of David, but in three dimensions. Now, I think Merkabah, all right, so here's where all the derivation. Kabah is a word that we use all the time, and the word we use is cube. Kaba and cube are the same word, they're just different pronunciations of it. So this thing they call Metatron's cube is a Merkabah, because it's a kaba that has been meh. It's been tip. If you take a cube and tip it on its edge and you slice away at the corners, you end up with this form, this star tetrahedron. It's much easier to say Merkabah than star tetrahedron, but I'm not sure if that's the same form that you're talking about, Nancy. Is that correct?
The form that we got, I think I don't understand why they would have called what they had diagrammed in the keys to be a Merkabah, because Merkabah by definition comes down as a wheel within a wheel out of the Bible, something about something in the Bible. And I didn't see it that way. It was really more like a parallelogram. Parallelogram? No. Two squares together, so you got, what the hell do they call that?
Two squares together.
Yeah, it's
all right. Okay. So hang on, you take four pieces of metal, right? You've got, they're made of a scaffold pole, aren't they?
Yep.
So you made one into a square, yeah?
No, it was. That's what I'm saying. It's not a square. It's if you put two squares together, so you got a long side and then a short side. What the heck is that called?
A rectangle.
Yes, a rectangle, that's right. So it was more of a rectangle shape. But then what they had us do after that was to create a four-sided pyramid that was up on a circle that was 6 feet in the air. And every time you got a pyramid, you have a mirror reflection. So when we were within this confines of this area, we were really working in the energetic side of a pyramid system. And they had this guy by the name of Curtis, who was working with, again, I mean, taking pipes, copper pipes, and making incredible geometric forms. And they had him make two. One was put into the apex of the pyramid way up above us, and the other one was put to correspond to the apex in the energy field. So, and then they had me put in an intricate wiring system on the ground out of copper wire. It went back and forth and up. I mean, it went for about 7 feet, and it was about 3 feet, maybe closer to 4 feet wide. And it's not laying on the ground. I went through a lot of wire doing this. I'm going, you really want me to do that? Yeah, okay, all right. And then they had me cover it with glass blocks, like you would build a wall with the glass blocks. So when you're laying on this thing, it's an intricate system that, you know, we were talking about shamanistic journeying, and that's where there was another time where I was really understood what this all was about, when, you know, you're traveling through the tunnel systems and you're, you know, seeing all sorts of different things, because you're allowing your consciousness to gain shamanistic enlightenment, so that you can let your consciousness just whoosh, travel. It's the same thing as remote viewing, except you're doing it in a different area of the universe, the existence. And so, yeah, but what the Merkabah was that they built, the intricacies of it, I don't understand it. I just follow directions. And because of that, we've had some stunning, amazing experiences in that environment. I mean, one time we were sitting there. I was sitting there with a couple. They were married. And it was just the three of us, and we were out there by ourselves. It was a nice fall day. No heat. Nice. And all of a sudden, I'm like taken out of body, and I'm back into time. And we were in a Mayan temple, and we were in like this apex of the pyramid. I don't even know which one, but it had you could look out over the city, and it was the Mayan city. So I think it was the pyramid of the sun and the moon there. I don't even know what location it is. I'm forgetting it. But anyway, We were back in this building, and we're having this discussion, and she was saying to me that, you know, this is every time we try to deal with these human beings, they always do the same thing. They always call us gods. They don't listen to what we're trying to teach them. They make us gods. And every time this happens, it ends up in the same disaster. And I could remember Egypt and maybe even Atlantis. I mean, there seemed to be a whole history of what she was saying. And, you know, I mean, so we finally got out of this. I got out of this state that we were in. I looked at her and I said, did you just time trip? And she said, yes. And so then I had a conversation with her husband, was like just sitting there listening to us. And I said, okay. I said, what? I said, you left wherever they were from. Wherever we were from, they left. They left the planet. It was like, we've had enough of this. We're getting the hell out of here. And I couldn't leave. And so I remembered being led from the Mayan area up to the northwest of the United States, and getting involved in that. What's the name of those people? It's not the Hopis. It's who the Hopis came from. The Anastasia people. And am I making this up? Maybe. I don't know. But I didn't know anything about this particular people. I just was relating what I was, because I was still locked into that person that had been back in that time. And I was just relating the memory that I had after the conversation that actually transpired between she and I. And I'm describing it, and her husband says, well, that sounds like the Anastasia, you know? And he starts to describe some things that, and I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm remembering. So you have confirmation. Now, whether you want to accept that as being confirmation or not is up to you. You know, so.
Have you ever watched The X-Files, Nance?
Never.
Right. One of the first shows of the X-Files was called, or it's either the first one or the last one, was called Anasazi. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Okay. The Anasazi is the Star Elders, isn't it?
I don't, like I say, I only can remember my own kind of involvement in it. When I got up there, we had come to this planet to enlighten. And every time we attempted to enlighten, it would blow up in our faces. So then I go up there and I'm with these people and I meet the shaman was a woman, old lady. And well, she wasn't old. I mean, she was old. She seemed old to me. That's all I know. She probably wasn't, but she seemed old to me because she had so much amazing information. And I listened to her and she was teaching me things that I did not understand as this enlightened being from someplace else. And it was like, all of a sudden, I realized that humanity was very special, that they had knowledge at some levels that we did not have. And I remember that she told me, she said, when you see your heart, she said, you'll know that it's the end times. And I didn't remember that when I was talking to these people that particular time in the Merkaba, but it probably was 15 years ago now, somebody gave me a gift of a amethyst geode that's broken in half, and all I've got, you know, it's like one of those geode, beautiful geodes, it's probably about, oh, I'd say 14 to 16 inches, yeah, it's probably about 16 inches tall, it's big. And in it was this heart. It looked like a heart. It even had this inclusion in it that was, you know, like the inside of the heart. It's the strangest thing. And it was blue. It was dyed blue. It was agate. It wasn't amethyst. It was quartz, but it wasn't the amethyst. It was actually an agate. And it had been dyed blue. Blue is not a natural color. If you see blue, it's dyed agate. And what happened over the years is that all of this dye that was in this rock came from it started to be drawn into this heart. So after 15, 20 years, now you've got a situation where the heart has got all the blue in it and the rock is back to its natural agates, you know, thing. But one day I was just sitting with the rock looking at it and all of a sudden I went boom back there with this shaman telling me that when you see your heart, and I don't know if that's my heart from that past lifetime, but when you see it, and this is so incredibly, looks like a heart. I'll have to take a picture of it and show you.
Nancy, what's the heart made of again?
It's agate, which is silicon dioxide quartz. It's a type of quartz.
So it's a kind of quartz, but there was a piece that had been dyed. And
the whole face of it was the whole face of it. So the whole stone when I originally got it was blue. And you know how you take a geode and you open it up and sometimes you'll have a cavity in it that might have all sorts of crystals like agates and amethyst, and you'll see these crystals that are just inside this ball. It's actually like a ball, and when you cut into it, sometimes there's a vacuum in it that has got the crystals growing in it. But this was agate that was solid. There was no crystals. When they cut it, it didn't have the void in it. So it's a pure slab, sort of a slab, of agate. And like I say, it was dyed blue. So, but over the years, the blue has been, you know, it's been taken out of the rock, and now the heart is all blue, but the rest of it is clear of the blue.
Very interesting. So it's kind of healed it in a way, or certainly it's done what shungite does, which is,
yeah,
you know, that's what the heart does. It draws everything in. Oh my God, I've just looked at it. Okay, so remember this little twisty thing that we were talking about before, the AccuVac coil.
Right.
I've just seen that as it's a you can look it up on the web. It's the central permanent, no, yes, the spiritual permanent atom. I think that if you Google that on Google Images, let's just see if I can find it. It's from the esoteric books. Let's just go Google that. Spiritual permanent atom. Where is it? And there we have it. There's a labaker.net. We're talking about a toroidal vortex. That's almost exactly what I'm looking at with this little device. There it is. I found it. I'm going to post it in the chat room. This is from the Fellowship of Cosmic Fire. If you looked at it, you'll see. I'll just pop it in the chat room now. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'll paste them both.
You're calling it a spiritual.
It's
spiritual permanent
atom. It's atom. The general form of an atom. So the permanent atom is the anchor into the 3D plane of our soul. And it's the central point of the heart, and it looks like a heart.
Wow.
Not like a kind of Valentine heart, but like a heart. Yeah, she has a heart-shaped face. Yes, not like a Valentine heart, like a heart. if you look at this thing, this looks just like one of these devices, and it does exactly that. It's a vortex. I'll just post them in both of the chat rooms. If you go to wallspiritradio.com, you'll see. I'll post the. I wonder if I can do this image, and I'll put the URL in, and it doesn't work. No, but anyway, you can connect to it and see the image there. No, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work at all. Oh, how come that? Oh, I see. Right. Okay, I get that. You just take off the. I'll pop that in there again, you have to put it into your thing there. That should, if you paste that and take the space out on the bracket out of the left, you should see the. Oh, that's rubbish. It's got a bracket on it. That's why. You don't want the bracket. There we go. There we go. That'll work. Yes. It now works in the chat room. So you can see this thing, the etheric atomic philosophy of force. And this is all connected with the Dwal Kool work, the esoteric work that I'm always going on about. Anyway, so I saw my little twisty thing, and this is a twisty thing, you see? Can you see that image now, Nancy?
Computer hell, remember, I am not going to touch anything until we're off this Skype.
Right. Okay. Well,
I'm
anyway.
I'm in a state of fear.
Oh, bless your heart. Take some shungite.
I get the shungite on the computer, yeah. But you know, it's like we had so much trouble earlier with Skype. I don't want to make any kind of a move here. I'll just sit here and I'll look at it in a bit.
Just hit there and smile. Anyway, diagram is demonstrating the esoteric view of the flow of energy within the atom. And it's really interesting because it looks like one of these devices that Slim Sperling has made. But instead of a bunch of threads, it's three at a time. So it's a triple thread.
Well, shungite was told, Walt was told that you need three pieces of shungite to get cohesion. And neither of us were sure what cohesion meant. So it's probably some fundamental...
Well, cohesion. All right, so I love breaking words down, you see. There's words like adhesion. Yeah? Adhesion is to join together. Or
right.
to cohead, you know. Cohesion is to be together. To work, you know, you're together because you've got a purpose. You're you're not... There's not subservience, you're all together.
Yeah, interestingly enough, he made one device and he put four of them in there for some reason. I don't know why. And by the time it got to me, the one of them was outside of the device in the box. And I'm going like, why? What's happened here? And I tried to put it back in. I could find no space for it. So apparently the device did not like the four. It wanted the three.
Yeah, so there is something about working with three pieces. I think it can get really specific because you can get like a certain number of pieces that will weigh a certain amount. You've said that this makes a difference, and that their orientation may need to be adjusted. So because they have a positive and a negative end, like batteries or diodes, which in fact that's what they are. They're diodes. This is a semiconductor diode. It's the same as, you remember the old radio crystals, you could probably use a piece of shungite to make a radio.
Oh, probably, yes. Yeah.
So, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and it's All Spirit Radio, and it's No Borders Radio, and we are listener supported, and we are supported by our subscribers indeed. So if you wish to come and join our little wolf pack. We're going to be growing. We've got some ideas, and the ideas are kind of all joining together to make a coherent. Yeah, coherent.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
coherent light? That's a laser beam.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does coherent mean? It means that all the waves go up and down, all at the same time, like everybody's on the same roller coaster. Yeah. And that's what cohesion is. And it means everybody's in sync with each other, that everybody's in tune with each other.
Well, you know, when we were going through the logo thing, I was telling somebody today that one of the most amazing experiences or the benefit, what happened was that there were four of us and we were trying to create this logo that we all sort of had in our head. And what I found amazing, Jay, was that anybody in the four would say, let's try this. And nobody, and it would make a difference. And it wasn't like somebody would say, not so. You know, it was like, okay, but what if we did this with it? We kept building and building and building. And it was just a delightful experience because we were all in sync with the same imaging that we could feel in our heads. And I'll tell you, if that's an indication of where Wolf Spirit's going, it's going to be a magical ride.
Well, it's we had a guest on the other day who did a reading for me, just cold, you know, she didn't know who I was or anything. She said, in the last 4 months you've been given a great responsibility, but you're taking it on, and the next 4 years it's going to grow and grow and grow. She was just like, she totally blew me away because, you know, she kind of read the thing, and she said, so I'm getting this download, basically, there's a phrase for you. Oneness in the light is like a slogan.
I like that.
Yeah, and and she said, "Oh, you ought to trademark it or something." So I did the or something. I immediately bought the domain. So if anybody wants to go to onenessinthelight.com, it's ours, and I just put a simple picture on it, it's quite lovely. Quite pretty. Can we smooth the roller coaster ride? Yes, indeed. The roller coaster ride is smoothed by shungite. That's why we're talking about all the time. Because shungite smooths out waves. It's like a tone control. This is the effect that shungite has on my voice. this is too bright, and this is with shungite. So it takes the edge off things. Did that sound right, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. It's, I know that people, when we started talking about all this, thought we were a little nutsola because you and I were what started it. I said, oh, you ever heard of shungite, you know? And it was like, immediately you grasped the concepts, and we just kept talking. Because I know this, because I went back and listened to all those radio tapes that we did early in the game. And so when Walt got into the picture, he started being able to take what we were talking about basically theoretically, and he started making devices, which then started locking it into the 3D, which then allowed us to actually confirm our theories and then go beyond it. So it's like, this has got it is a wave in and of itself. I mean, let's face it, Shungite's been around longer than any of us have. And, you know, for whatever reason, the time is now. And every time we talk about it, I mean, somebody put in chat a few shows ago, you know, he sounds like he's, you know, advertising Shungite, and somebody wrote back, yes, he is, because that's the secret to survival. You know, it's like, yeah, we're that committed to it, that we do believe that it is a massive gift that is making a difference. Yeah, that's Shungite. Yep.
Yep. So let's put a tune on. This, you know, I have no idea who made that. If anybody's got any clues, please let me know. Fantastic track. It was like somebody made a mixtape for me, and it was just got like track number 7 or something. So I don't even know that it's called I Ain't No Woman. But anyway, it's a great track. I love the harmonica and everything on it. Nancy, you back with me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. So, there she goes. See, I knew... I didn't even look at the screen. I just looked at the chat room, and there's Brighton saying, who's singing this song, please? And it's like, I don't know. Anyway. So, meanwhile, Twisty Little Objects. So, yeah, I saw this image of the heart and the permanent atom. The atom in this diagram looks like a heart-shaped vortex. Basically, there are three of these pieces of twisty wire. Maybe I might actually make one with this twisty wire I got. And see what it does. It's probably blow my head. Put three pieces of Shungite and it'll sort of disappear.
Get yourself some of those Shungite beads, and you put them in the corners.
There's a thing. You know what I'd really like is a bag of Shungite beads that you can put around the neck.
The only way I've seen them is it already strung. I had to buy them and then send them to Walt, and he unstrung them, and he's using them in the corners of a lot of the devices he's making.
There's a thought. I'll do that. I sometimes do that when I make organite. To get pieces of lapis lazuli, for instance. You can get these little bracelets for a couple of quid that's got like 100 pieces on it, just because it's like a kid's bracelet. There you go. And it's wonderful. You can get it's a good source of materials for. Making organite, just like the local crystal shop always has them, hanging up.
Right. The other thing that is so fascinating is that Shungite will actually absorb silver. I had some pendants that were silver coated copper, and in some cases, the Shungite just ate up absorbed all the silver right off of the wire, so that all was left was the copper. And then Walt took it and used colloidal silver, which is silver in water, and put some Shungite in it, and the Shungite just absorbed the silver right out of the water. And when he tried to see if he could get the silver off of it, like if it was, it looked kind of surfacey, he couldn't. You'd have to actually scratch it off. You couldn't just rub it off. But then when he tried the same thing with elite Shungite, which is the Shungite that we call raw or natural Shungite is anywhere between 35% and 60% Shungite. But elite Shungite, I mean fullerenes, is 35% to 60%. But in elite, it's like 90% fullerenes. So the surface of the elite is much harder. And it actually took the silver and attracted it to the outer side of the elite, but he could rub it off. It wasn't being absorbed into the stone itself. And the same thing happened with a hematite wire. Somebody brought me, they were saying that the Shungite was pitted. And so I said, okay, bring it to me. I got to look at this thing. And when I looked at it, I realized that the wire had been a hematite-coated wire, that the hematite was now off of the wire but was on the shungite, which therefore made it look like it was pitted. But it wasn't pitted. It actually had an uneven coating of the hematite on it. So another thing that shungite does.
So we lost this week, maybe yesterday, Dolores Cannon.
I know.
And I wonder who's. I wonder if she'll show up on the show with through a medium or something. Because one of the things, one of the most fascinating, she would take people through all sorts of post-hypnotic journeys, and one of them, she would take people into different forms of evolution on the planet. So she would take people into, for instance, being an eagle. And how was the eagle seeing? And one of the things she described was how different creatures see. For instance, she said that inside a spider's mind, it's like a security guard with like 8 video cameras, with 8 video screens around it. And if any movement happens on any of the video screens, they zoom into that screen and bring that full up to the main screen. So that's how a spider sees. And then a hawk would be... had this amazing kind of 3D high definition vision, but when it saw movement, it would zoom in and it would be like night vision. It would go all green and like that sort of hazy night vision look. And then she took people into being a mineral and being a tree. And, you know, all sorts of things like that. And it turns out we're here to experience all of those. To experience being a rock for an incarnation. Experience. So we wonder if one can... How tiny can one be to experience life? Could one be as big, for instance, as a shungite molecule?
Yes, in my opinion, yes. Because one of the things that Walt also found out, what I had found out playing with him, was that it didn't matter how big the nugget was. I mean, I had some what I call bricks that were 2.5 pounds of shungite. And was that any more powerful than basically a pile of dust of shungite? No, it was not. You know, so it doesn't matter how big it is. Every single little molecule, in, as you're asking, probably puts out the same field. You muted? Are you there?
Yep. Out the same field. So, longer sentence next time. So we, it does... I mean, the shape of things always makes a difference. And we've been working with tumble stones. Nick's been making some of these amazing pieces of jewelry, which will be up later on as the second collection of shungite jewelry. It's selling fast, and they're all unique, and they're all amazing. So do check them out, and... come to everbeyondradio.com and have a look at the shungite products. I'll put a link on the front page because they're that good. So we've been we're talking about the size doesn't matter.
Well, the weird thing about shungite is that, you know, I started making earrings and I had pounds of shungite in front of me. And I'm talking not the big stuff. I'm talking about small chips that would be, you know, something you'd put in an earring. And I could not believe how difficult it was to find two pieces of shungite for earrings that were similar. It's astounding. And Walt's found the same thing, is that you talk about shape. It's like every single... shungite is so special because it can't be, it's not duplicated. I mean, I've got piles and piles of these small rocks trying to make earrings, and it's like, you can't find two that are similar enough to look like they belong together. And then, of course, every once in a while you find two that look like they should be together and they don't want to be together. It's like, wait a minute. You know, something will go wrong in the rap. It'll give you trouble. It's like, you know, but, yeah, every single one of them is different. They may have a similar look to them, but then they're not the right size. They're not the right thickness. They're not the, you know, they've got, it's Shungite is strange.
It's a very, we talk about living rock, living stone. You know, there are people even called living stone. We don't think about it, living stone, you know. But, living stone that is, well, it does things. It does stuff. It absorbs things. It's, you know, you can feel its fields. Now, I think that the whole thing about fields, feeling fields is something that we're kind of new to in the last 100 years. You know, we understand, you know, magnetic fields now. We understand EMF field, radio fields. And now we're talking, what we're talking about is a scalar field, because it's not quite an EMF situation on this, because it's like magnetoelectric. It's the opposite. It's like the inverse, the complement of electromagnetism is magnetoelectrism, where the magnetic component is higher than the electric component. And it's the sort of complementary left brain, right brain, yin-yang thing to EMF, and it's where everything else is that scientists haven't told us about. You know, scientists have only told us half the truth. The other half is these forces that we're talking about right now. And a lot of these forces are affected by form. You know, so if you have a spherical thing, if you have a triangular thing, they'll work differently. They'll have a different field around them. They'll project a different shape. You know, it's a keyhole. You shine a torch through a keyhole, you'll get a keyhole-shaped light beam out the other end.
Well, everything in the universe is based on geometry. It's all frequency, and geometry is frequency. Different shapes will give you a different frequency. And, you know, Dolores Cannon, again, she said that humanity's here to understand how to manipulate energy. And to understand, you first have to realize that everything is energy. And once you understand that, then you see things in a very different way. You see it in frequency, but if you go beyond frequency, and especially if you're a musician like you are, then you're beginning to understand that there is a geometry that's natural to all the frequencies. And if you understand that the buckyball in its very structure has a geometric form that is probably, you know, very close to the keys of life. In and of itself, there's just no limit to what we can learn if we just let our imagination to go out there. Because if you can't imagine, it's not going to happen. If Henry Ford could not imagine the iron horse, it never would have happened. So, you know, give yourself the chance to just go out there and experiment with what we're doing. It's going to be interesting to see what Frank Jordan's group comes up with, because they got into talking about the Shungite last week. Was it last week?
And he said, did you send some out?
I did. Two of his people asked for it with a discount, and I think there might have been a couple of others that didn't ask for the discount. So he's got people in his group that are, you know, actually starting to, and, you know, he wants to test it, and I absolutely agree. Test everything, you know. The more we test it, the more we're going to get the feedback on what all this is about.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll look forward to it. We'll be hearing from them in about 40 minutes, just over an hour probably, while Frank does his preamble. And, so we're having a bit of a chilled show today. If you want to call in the last 40 minutes, we have an American number. Which is 1-775-773-3431, and I really should make a jingle. Anyway, you can also call in if you're in the UK on 0141-356-4141. These numbers are all over the website, wolfspiritradio.com. And yes, onenessinthelight.com. I don't know what I'm going to put there. I'm interested in if anybody's like really kind of sparked up by that. We'll see if anybody's interested in that. I'll just leave that dangling. What I'd really like is a three-dimensional Merkabah. All right, so, oh yeah, oh, we've got loads of things to talk about. One was something to do with Dolores. It's something. It's the first thing you said, and I thought, oh yeah. So what was the first thing you said about Dolores? You said it twice today.
Dolores Cannon was told, and as a matter of fact, one of the more really interesting videos that I saw of her was her giving a talk in front of a group, and out of that, while she was doing that, she showed this painting of the new earth that somebody who had heard her speak before drew, or created, I should say that. And it was like this, these two earths that were still kind of attached, pulling away, and one was like this beautiful blue planet, and the other one was all dead, you know. And she was told that before she died, she would see the new world, the new earth. She calls it the new earth. So when I heard that she had passed, I was like, because I kept saying, look, Dolores got this promise, and she's getting pretty old. We better do this pretty fast, otherwise, you know. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, man, you know. And then I thought about it, and I said, I don't know if Dolores got to see what was happening, but I think that she would have felt what was happening because she was so connected. And that, yes, we are in a new world. This is a new earth. It's happened.
Okay.
You know, the ascension... The ascension and the event has already happened.
All right,
we're here.
I just remembered it. Okay, let me dump it before I lose it again. She said that humanity is here to learn to manipulate energy, right? And I want to tie this in with what you were talking about with Walt, is that we manipulate energy by creating reality.
Yes.
Or we create reality by manipulating energy. So essentially, what we're here to learn to do is to create realities. We can create a construct the same as the Archons can, but we can make a better one, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to reprogram the world's reality because it needs us, because there's a consciousness bleed over. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, what I think happened was that at the end of 2012, there were... Well, before that, when they were using Looking Glass, which was a massively complex computer that was able to look into the future, and if they did this on this day, what would be? And every time they would get close to 2012, all they saw were two timelines. No matter what they did, they were still coming up with these two timelines. One being Armageddon, and the other one I call Goody Two Shoes. Because it's everything is good and everything is wonderful and blah, 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 blah. And then you got the Armageddon thing. Now, when we passed through the 2012 singularity, now that the singularity happened because the Mayans were correct. We were going through a new age. It's a new energy pattern. We were in a different place in the universe. Therefore, the energies were different. And as you pass through this new age, it's almost like everything constricts down to a very fine point. And what came out of that singularity in the end of 2012 was the same timeline. All the timelines had collapsed into one timeline, and it wasn't so much that they were seeing two different timelines, it was the same timeline with two different alternate endings. So when we go through 2012, initially every single timeline possible was there. And you remember back in 2013, there was, I got a new job, I got this new prospect, everything is happening, blah, blah, blah. And all those timelines started collapsing almost immediately. So by the time we get into March timeframe, we only got the one timeline, the same one we were on in 2012, that had two alternate realities that could come out of it. At some point, there would be a split, and you'd go one way or the other. And what happened in March, and again, I preface this, I want you to understand, it's not because I'm special. It's because I was and guides that gave me the information that allowed me to write Cosmic Reality. And everything that I'm telling you is based on what I learned during the writing of Cosmic Reality. So as I'm writing Cosmic Reality, and I think I'm finished the book, turns out I'm not. I have to go back. I said, what did I miss? I don't know. So I just open up and I start to write, and I end up writing about Gaia and consciousness, and then the subserviency, and then the shamanistic consciousness being required to do this next step. At the time that I'm doing that, I'm realizing in such a profound way. And it's hard to explain the magical mystery. I talk about it in the book at the end of it. I tell you what happened. But it was a magical mystery, like, oh, my gosh, where are we now? And I realized that we needed to be subservient to Gaia, which means that we have to put her first. We have to put Earth first. Anything that we have, we were given dominion of this planet. And because we were given dominion of the planet, we have got to work with the Creator God in order to create the best of all environments. So I made that commitment. Now, and that was in November of 2013. By March of 2014, I'm given shungite. You know, my friend Lee Brown comes down to visit me. She's been in the mineral business. She had just gotten this order of this new stuff for the United States called shungite. And as soon as I got it in my hands, and as soon as she put it on my Wi-Fi system and everything in the room changed, I was like, okay, this is something I've never seen before, because I've been in the business for a long time myself. And I'd never seen this. I've never seen this much power. And I was infatuated with it. What really happened was that we were on that timeline, that one timeline coming out of 2012. I managed to write Cosmic Reality. But more importantly, I read Cosmic Reality. And I understood the connection to Gaia. At that moment, in my opinion, there was a break. And so you got the one timeline that's got two alternate endings. And now all of a sudden, we're on the shungite reality that's the third option. It's not goody two-shoes. It's not Armageddon. It's that there is good and evil everywhere. And you have to maintain a sense of balance in order to understand and to create realities that are absolute power demands absolute responsibility. So at that moment when we have this dualistic, now there's two timelines merging together, and they're going along, right? When Shungite got into the picture, that new timeline became empowered. And it is growing stronger and stronger and stronger, because more and more people are getting the idea, oh, we can create our new reality. Oh, they're doing this over here. And they're doing it with knowledge that they're doing it. It's not an accident. The bad guys have been trying to have control over timelines. We have control over timelines. We've got the Shungite reality timeline, the one that is going to empower individuals and create a new earth. And that's why I feel that we already had the reality happening, and Dolores, at some real bottom of her heart, whatever, knew that she could leave. She'd seen it. It's happening. It's not going to fail. It's set in time and place. And I think that's why she felt like she could leave. Because Dolores was, without a doubt, had I known about Dolores Cannon before I wrote Cosmic Reality, I am not sure I would have ever written Cosmic Reality. I would have simply read her 15 books. She was that good. She understood so much. I'd read her books and I'd go, like, exactly what I was saying. Exactly what Cosmic Reality is trying to, you know, but she had already said it. But I didn't even know about her. And yet I think it was you that said she was a rock star of metaphysics. And, you know, for some reason, my guides kept me blind from her. But then once the Cosmic Reality was written, I could read her and get more confirmation that, yes, what I had presented through my guides was real, because she'd done the legwork. She had already, you know, gone through all of the types of experiences that you were describing earlier about different places and different consciousnesses. And she'd done it. It's all there. And I highly recommend you, if you really want an excursion into metaphysics, read her. Most of her books are actually the sessions themselves, just transcribed. So we lost a superhuman being, but I think that she was one of those that guided us to where we are now. I certainly didn't do this by myself. There have been, you know, so many people that put their lives on the line because you know, to function, you have to put up a certain 3D look to yourself. And in some people's cases, they didn't even bother with that. They just went with the message. And so it's all a group effort. And wolf spirit is a good indicator of where we're going. You've got all these individuals that are coming together for the purpose of creating a solution-based radio station that, what's that phrase that we're using that Dave gave to us?
Get ready for the truth.
Yeah, get ready for the truth.
Oh, get ready to learn the truth. I can't do a very good Dave Coulter impression, but anyway. Get ready to learn the truth. Which, you know, it just kind of sat there on the website, and like almost like nobody noticed it. And then you know, we pulled it out and gave it a bit more prominence. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what we've been talking about in the back room, as it were, and what's in store for Wolf Spirit Radio. Is we're looking at really kind of expanding ourselves bit by bit, you know, segment by segment. We're going to add, we've got a kind of suite of websites that will be connected together, each serving a different angle of the work that we collectively and individually do. So, for instance, there may be artists in the group. There may be, Nancy with all your Cosmic Reality products and things like that. We want to sell books. We want to sell CDs. We have musicians. We want to sell artwork. But my current thing about it is that people who draw pictures of wolves, I'd like to sell wolf art, if you like, because I think people really relate to it. And it's kind of strangely neutral, you know.
Well, wolf is such a it's such a power animal. I mean, you've seen the video about what happened to Yellowstone Park when they introduced a small pack of wolves, and the transformation of the park was within 6 years absolutely stunning. Because the wolves would go after the deer, and not so much killing the deer. There wasn't very many of them. But their very presence in that part of the Yellowstone would drive out the deer. And so the vegetation that the deer had taken right down to the nothing was able to grow back. And once that started happening, then you had the berries started growing on trees. The trees, like, got big in no time because the trees weren't being damaged by the deer eating at, and the bears started coming back because now the trees are there with the berries, and all of these little critters that, you know, weren't around because there wasn't a habitat, to the point that the actual river systems of the Yellowstone changed because the vegetation that was allowed to grow because the wolves had driven out the deer started to stop the erosion that was happening. And because of that, some of the rivers started to pool, and therefore it made it conducive to beaver and otter and other aquatic animals that live in that environment to then survive. It's just stunning. The wolf is a extraordinarily powerful impactor on natural environments. And that's because humans got out of the way and let things work the way they should. Now, we may not like the wheel of life or whatever they call it, where, you know, somebody dies so somebody can live. I don't particularly like it, but that's the way it is. And as long as that's the rules, then we have to get out of the way and just let it happen. And if we let it happen, it happens naturally. And everything is benefited by it. Well, except maybe the deer. I'm not exactly sure what could happen to the deer. But
they become dinner, I think. they're lovely. I have a totem of the stag, but We are, you know, it's a generally in-service sort of creature, so if there are too many of them, you know, come and eat us. We're happy. We're fine about that. We're in no hurry. Well,
the other thing with the wolf pack concept is that it was not just Dave Corso. It was a lot of you people out there that worked with Dave to create Wolf Spirit. But the alpha male in the wolf pack goes out very far from where the home is for the wolf pack and looks around and sees what's out there, then comes back to the wolf pack and says, this is what I saw. This is what's out there, and teaches. This is Native American interpretation of wolf. So wolf indicates leadership and learning. And I see that as being the fundamental driving force behind the radio station. So it should be called Wolf Spirit.
It totally fits. I'd like to, you know, I just want to look back at that, the story that's talking about the wolves, and there was a chain reaction that they seemed to understand that was the key to it, you know. They were probably sort of sitting there contemplating, yeah, if only those deers weren't there, everything would fit. Everything would work out. So let's, you know, and we can do that. We can make that change. We have the ability to drive out the deer. We can have them for lunch. But we can control that population and restore the place back, or allow that place to restore itself. It's like they could see that the deer were acting as an irritant to make a disease.
Because they weren't under control. And basically, it wasn't that the wolf killed that many of the deer. It was the fact the wolf were in the area that the deer just got out of the area. And probably got into, you know, that there was too many of them, and wherever they went, and in the natural, you know, environment, you know. It's really weird, because one of the things I noticed after, Hurricane Andrew down here, was that South Florida was severely damaged, and nature knew it. In the year after Andrew, and I saw it after Wilma too. Wilma did a lot of damage. The amount of birthings that happened was mind-bending. The trees were growing faster. There were more there was more palm trees growing up, little babies. Everything was more and more of this stuff. There were all of a sudden more lizards. There were more everything. Because when nature is attacked, its response is to attack back by making more. So when you have a situation like in the deer, where they're all being channeled into a more limited space, the deer spirit, the one that is, you know, really the spirit of all deer, that the deer take a you know, kind of like, my feeling is if you pay attention to an animal and you love an animal, you really imbue them with their own identity and their own soul. But there's a group spirit that is deer. And that group spirit knows, whoa, I got too many people in too limited a place. We better stop having so many babies. And they didn't address that, but I bet you that that's what happened. It wasn't so much that they got killed off to get the balance back. It was that they didn't have as many babies because they didn't have the space to be able to expand in. Because you'll see that too. So nature is so much smarter than we could possibly be. But in six years the trees had grown to be big trees, and because now there's trees and there's habitat and there's stuff for birds to eat, more of the birds came in. So you got all these little birds. So now you're getting the eagles in and the ones that prey on the littler birds, and it just every single aspect. And it's on Wolf Spirit. If you go to Facebook and the Wolf Spirit page, if you go down not too far, that video is there. And I highly recommend that you take a look at it. First off, it's very beautiful. But second of all, it gives you a look at life that I was stunned. I was stunned how fast the change happened. Not that the change happened, but in 6 years, that they had actually changed the rivers because wolf had been introduced to a location in the Yellowstone.
I said another wolf datum. Jude from the chat room saying that a friend of hers is a writer, shared with her several years ago, she thought the wolf should be the mascot or symbol for the sign of Virgo. And I'm sure I know one certain wolf baby will probably agree with that. But she probably also says dragons. But anyway, because everything's dragons. Wolves and dragons. Well, I wonder what the connection between wolves and dragons is.
I didn't know there was a connection.
There's got to be. There's got to be. You know, again, so what's interesting is that to take it into a different realm, but a connected subject, is when Frank Jordan, for instance, has somebody who's overrun by a bacteria or a virus or something like that, he addresses the virus itself, the consciousness of the virus, and asks it to bring itself back to a level. It's out of control, and it needs to come back to a level where it is no longer threatening to the host. So that's a very similar arrangement as to what the wolves were doing with the deer.
Yes, and you can... every single consciousness, and there's consciousness in everything. I mean, people who've worked with crystals and stones and minerals know that there is special... You get attached to them. It's like they talk to you in some cases, or you think they do. But irregardless, their messages are always good, whether it's coming from you internally or not. But my experience is that these minerals have a level of consciousness. There was a great book called Guardians of the Gemstones. I don't even know if it's in print now, but it was a married couple that were working with minerals, and they started realizing that when they would work with a ruby, that they were both getting an image of a spirit that was the same image. They started talking to one another. And so then they started getting into a meditative state and talking to the spirit behind Ruby. And the spirit would say, well, Ruby is this energy. And having worked with the stones and the minerals, I was very impressed with what I considered the accuracy of the information regarding each of the minerals. But they got their information by contacting the group spirit of Shunga, of Ruby, or of Tourmaline, or of Malachite. Everything has a consciousness. You can't have manifestation without consciousness. And, you know, it reminds me of that commercial where the monk is all of a sudden getting bit by a mosquito, and he unthinkingly slaps the mosquito, and then it's like, uh-oh. You know, if you understand that even a flea, like when I'm working trying to get the fleas off of the animals, I say to every one of them that I kill, evolve, evolve, evolve. You know, it's like you don't have a purpose here except to eat my dog and make me crazy. Evolve. And I do acknowledge that, like the monk, I'm doing something that is, you know, killing, but sometimes you have to cut down the tree, you know. But if you do it with honor and integrity and a good place in your heart, and you ask, you know, please, I'm doing this because I need to do this, and forgive me, but I need to do this. And it always, the energy goes back to the group spirit. So when I'm killing the flea, I'm not killing an individual flea, I'm just killing a version of. If I'm chopping down the tree's energy is going into, I never take down a tree that I don't have another tree in the yard of the same species, because the energy, the spirit, will go into that other tree and make it stronger. And that is what I call shamanistic consciousness. It's understanding that everything you deal with in the world of nature has got its own consciousness, and if you deal with integrity and with knowledge, you're not going to inadvertently pick up bad karma. Like what makes me crazy is watching somebody cut down a tree for the lumber without any understanding that that's a living being. You know, it's one thing to go say, look, I need to do this. and I'm going to take your life to do this, but I'm doing it. You know, it's like the Native Americans. You know, they had to kill the buffalo to survive, but they did it with honoring the buffalo. And you know, it's just it's as simple as that, is to realize that, you know, for every action that you take, you are interfering in the consciousness of something, of somebody, and to walk through life understanding that. You're still going to do some things you may not feel comfortable with, but you will feel better about it if you're doing it out of necessity. I've got to take down this tree because this tree has now got its roots in my septic system and I have to survive. I got to take down that tree because it could fall on the house because it's leaning that way and it's old and needs to come down. You know, so you have to be able to look at things, but not, you know, oh God, I got to get rid of that tree. Let's get rid of that tree. Let's go buy some, you know. No, don't do it like that. You'll make yourself happier in the end because you'll understand the full expanse of consciousness and life itself.
Expanding consciousness, that's what we like to hear. And that's really what we're about here. We know that there's a load of stuff going on out there, but people with an expanded consciousness understand that there's something going on that is bigger than just what you're seeing in the television news. And I think most of us are on page here, but I think in a while people are going to start drifting over to shows like All Spirit Radio, and I want to get them get the thing up on iTunes as well, because Blog Talk Radio, the old Blog Talk Radio shows, they're on iTunes. You can search for Ever Beyond on Blog Talk Radio, and PIG, I think, Project Information Generation, still up online on iTunes. And also I want to get Wolf Spirit Radio up on iTunes and maybe individual shows at first, so we'll have a chance to experiment with it, dip our toes in.
One of the things that we were talking about, that, you know, expanding into being able to show people's artwork and people's music, to introduce them into give them, let's say, a place where they can advertise what they're doing. It's not because of us wanting to make money off of these people. It's us wanting to expose everybody who might be associated with Wolf Spirit in the creative juices of so many that are actually hosts on Wolf Spirit, who are fans of Wolf Spirit, who have the same. Every time somebody paints something or draws something or writes something, you're feeding the collective consciousness. Nobody has to see it. Nobody has to read it. You've already done your work. But we're taking it a step further and we're saying, no, we want to take this to everybody so that people can appreciate. I mean, some of the artwork that I've seen that's been done by our people is stunning. And so when we're building this Wolf Spirit Media Network, so that we're incorporating all of these other things. Yes, we would like to make money so that we can continue to do this, but we're not making money off of these people. They're going to be, the way I'm understanding it, is that basically we're going to introduce them, give them a portal so that people can go to their websites to do the buying. Is that what we're seeing, Jay, or are we seeing that we're going to actually run our own store?
I think we'll probably be more like the, what they call it, the franchise, you know, so we might advertise a thing, but you click here and that will take you to your checkout page or something like that.
So anybody that's out there that has an affinity for what we're trying to do in Wolf Spirit, you know, it's going to take us a while to get this working out, but let us know. You can contact us through the website. Let us know that you're interested. If you want to participate, if you want to help us out building this. I believe we're open to it, aren't we? You're the boss.
Totally. What we want, actually, is we need people who know Joomla, people who know WordPress, people who can do graphic arts, people who... all sorts of levels. For instance, there's one project in the back of my mind, which is to tag all of the archives. So people, when they listen to the archives, they can submit a tag that describes what the content is like, so that people in the future can search for that kind of content. Maybe even people who are into audio who can, for instance, there's many shows that have had a meditation in them, who'd be able to clip out the meditation and upload it as a separate thing, so that people can use these meditations in their daily life. There are so many there's so many ideas, and it's basically the way I work is, if people say, why don't we have an, I say, good job, go and make it so. I'll set you up a website. I mean, one of the things I can do is I can, within an hour, create a website that is a subdomain of Wolf Spirit Radio. So that becomes like, broadcast.wolfspiritradio.com, or what was that one that I made the other day? We'll talk about the other ones later. Like home.wolfspiritradio.com or something like that. Anyway, so we'll be expanding it into various things of that ilk. Now, if you're creative, you're listening to this program, you probably are. If you're creative and you have things that you'd like to sell, perhaps this could be like, you may not have too many things, but what we can do is we can advertise it. You give us a photo and a description, and we can put that up. And then if somebody orders it, we can send you the, we'll send you all the money. You can send us some back, or something. And then we'll be able to sell very small people's work, small, tiny businesses, and group them all together. That creates a very, very strong cohesive unit.
It's a community.
Exactly. Exactly. Of creatives.
Of creative people. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we know the people are out there. They just got to get a hold of us and start to go to work.
Yeah.
We don't pay.
Oh, yeah. By the way.
Nobody gets paid, but nobody gets paid. That's all
nobody
I can tell you.
Nobody gets paid, but here's the thing. What you get is you have the ability to expose your products to the world. And it's not to sell your products. The idea is that it's the service to self. Is a tinier fraction than the service to others. The service to others is you're giving out your information, you're bringing your friends into your radio shows, and you're exposing their reality to the listeners. And if people can support you by buying your products, I think it's a very good exchange. That instead of buying something from some faceless corporatocracy, you can support, it's two votes, voting against and voting for equals two votes to buy something from somebody that you know. And I'm talking about in general as well. If you know somebody who's making things, don't go to the supermarket to buy it. Buy it from them. Get local eggs. Encourage local.
Well, the other thing is that they're actually influencing the reality that we're trying to build. It's like the more people that get out there, and because we know they're getting downloads of pictures that have amazing energy associated with them. You just look at it, and all of a sudden you're getting hit with a frequency. It's all energy. Everything is energy. So if we can put up a picture of a wolf that draws a human being into a state of, oh my God, that is just such wonderful energy. You've changed reality right then and there. Because one more person has put out a beam of energy that says, oh my God, that's beautiful. Anytime you can get somebody to put out an energy field of goodness, of joy, of love, of enlightenment, you've done your job. And sometimes, like the cosmic reality picture that I use was done by Cindy Harris, who was a very, very good friend of mine. Now, she did that painting, and she took the picture on an easel type of thing. And for some reason, I never could figure it out. The series that she had taken of that particular piece of artwork was in my computer. And I was looking for a specific picture that I had always thought would be on the cosmic reality when I stumbled across it, and I went, oh my God, that's cosmic reality. And the information, if you study that, if you studied the book and you study that picture, it's stunning how much of the essence of cosmic reality is within that one photograph. The picture itself, she gave away to a nonprofit organization that was trying to have selling things to get funding. So it was actually sold to somebody. So somebody has got that original. And thank God she took the pictures, because the image is so powerful. And that's what I'm saying, is that there's so many images out there. There's so much that people are doing that they don't even realize how they're impacting. I mean, maybe if she had never done that picture, I never would have written the book. You never know how far back it goes. So, yeah, anybody out there that's got talent, that's got product, that knows somebody, and you feel comfortable with the energies of Wolf Spirit, contact us, join us, help us create a new reality that's already here. We're just filling it in.
So, Nancy, have you got? Did I make you a Nancy at WolfSpiritRadio.com?
I think it's Cosmic Reality.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, you can get hold of Nancy through CosmicReality.net. You can get hold of me through Wolf Spirit Radio. So, JP@WolfSpiritRadio.com. Or everbeyondradio.com or everbeyond.info or sevenrays.info or remitters@hotmail.com. Anyway, we are coming to the end of Ever Beyond. We've made a small, tiny movement, millimeter towards the beyond. Again, tiny bits of ascension this week. I hope you've all enjoyed them. That's the head pressure and the solar flares and all this stuff. Anyway, that's about it from us. We'll see you in a few minutes with Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank Group. Thank you very much, Nancy. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all out there.
We've come.